Here we go, back at it again. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com as we broadcast live from the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower in Studio A. I am Mike Jacobson. Man to my right is Scott King, both employed by WGN Radio, and that's why we get to talk to you through these microphones about the Blackhawks, who are red hot right now. Red hot. You got to witness them last night, even though it was a weird loss, an overtime loss.
Yes.
17 out of 20 ain't bad. I don't know if that's a song, but it kind of sounds like it. 17 out of 20.
Ain't bad.
Ain't bad.
Willie Nelson.
And they are something else the past few weeks, and a lot of fun to watch. Controversial ending last night. You've got a couple of blogs that we want to talk about that you got up on the website, WGNRadio.com. That is Chelsea Blogger. Let's get the familiars out of the way first. Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You go there. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. Submit questions via either medium. We would like that.
And we like having iTunes subscribers to the podcast.
Yes,
we do. You get it right away on iTunes, right on your phone, your iPad, your ham radio. Right when it goes up, you have it.
Basically, make it easier for you. So we are on iTunes. Subscribe there. Makes it quick and easy. Comes right to your phone. You know how iTunes works.
You can always listen on the site, too. But iTunes, the reviews helps get the name of the podcast out there. And we appreciate it.
And at WGNRadio.com right now, the Chelsea Blogger. And if you go to WGNRadio.com, just click on sports. It comes up right there. You last night had a great game recap. You were at the United Center for the Blackhawks 5-4 loss to the Canucks. They're down 3-1 heading into this third period. We've seen this before.
Yeah, recently.
And they come back. They tie it up. We head into overtime. Then things start getting a little crazy.
Things got hairy.
To say the least.
It wasn't it's the same story as Sunday. They're down 3-1 after two periods and find a way to come back and score five goals in the third period against the Avalanche. Three goals in 34 seconds to go on to win 6-3 on Sunday.
And two of those goals were in 17 seconds. And there's something weird about 17 in the franchise for the Blackhawks. So.
Something familiar.
Mm-hmm. Was there 17 seconds left in a certain Stanley Cup?
Oh, my God. How nice.
There has been a lot of 17s, which is really weird. But continue. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I will.
I'm a very superstitious person.
It's like that movie, The Number 23, with Jim Carrey, where he's just obsessed with that number. It's like you with 17.
It's true.
You're going to start sweating.
I am OCD. That's another podcast.
It's a good movie. Ah,
it is very good.
Yeah, no, but that wasn't the case last night. They put a good comeback together in the third. You had a Hayden goal overturned, but it looked like he had the game-tying goal. Would have made it 4-4 in the third period, right after Corey Crawford was pulled, allowing four goals on 10 shots. Not his great game, but again, you know, maybe move Quinville did to shake up the team and get them play a little better, and I think it worked because they almost pulled it off. And you finally get Ryan Hartman to actually score the game-tying goal for real for keepsies, but with about 1 minute left in the third there. And then we get to overtime, and Toews has a goaltender interference call. That it's right after the Hawks' power play expired. They were on a power play. And then Daniel Sedin scores – on Darling, and that's reviewed for goaltender interference.
I mean,
I don't know.
It was a little familiar looking. It was just kind of ironic. You see this Jonathan Toews interference, no call, and then other end of the ice, we get the same thing with this one of the Sedin sisters, as I like to call them.
Well, that's hurtful.
And those guys have been pestering Blackhawks for many, many years.
They connected on the first and last goals of the game.
They're something.
Yeah.
They've been around a long time. And
They know each other very well.
Yeah, well, you know, twins tend to do that. I'm not a doctor.
I'm no
doctor.
But
there's a rumor that they seem to be on the same path most of the time, these twins nowadays.
Well, they did it again last night, those rascals.
And, you know, and that controversial overtime goal got Scott Darling a little bit worked up after the game, and you were in the dressing room with him.
Yeah. I was, and I was allowed in there. I wasn't just in the dressing room.
Yeah, you had a media pass. No, you didn't sneak in, and you weren't smelling jocks or anything.
No,
like that.
No, not this time. But
you would not want to smell anything in a
hockey equipment
hockey dressing room.
No,
it is the
they're
worst
not making
smelling
colognes
place
out of that fragrance anytime soon at Macy's.
Now, Axe is not investing.
No,
by any,
nor should
by
they.
Any means.
Not at a store near you. No, but he was. You could tell right away when the play happened, he was calling over the official. He was very, very unhappy with the call. And maybe that's what prompted a video review for the NHL to do. Determined it was a good goal, and he was furious. And I asked him if he sustained contact on the play and what he thought about it. Did you think you got bumped on that play?
I know I got bumped. I thought it was a terrible call. I'm not talking about when I hit my head on. I'm talking about when I tried to move my blocker over. I couldn't move my blocker over. It slowed me down. The puck was in the net. He's 6 inches inside the crease. I know the rules. It was a bad call.
6 inches?
A full 6 inches.
Did it look like that? All right. All right. Did it appear that way, though? It's a family-friendly podcast.
Yeah, no, we were in the media room waiting for the game to end, and a couple of the, I don't know if it's reporters, camera guys, writers, were all saying, yeah, he's in the crease a bit. And then
did you come to that conclusion yourself as well, or
I thought he was in a crease, and after what Darling said, I mean, look, he's not a guy who makes excuses, and I thought to go ahead and kind of not push him, but I thought to ask directly about the contact, because there was I think a similar call earlier in the year, something having to do with one of the video reviews in a certain rule, and he said what he thought then. So I thought he would do it last night, and he did. He's a guy who doesn't make excuses, but
he's not a guy that speaks up a lot.
No. He's going to tell you what he saw, and in this case, what he felt. I mean, who has a better view and feeling of what happened than he did last night, and he was very upset by it. And you're seeing the breakdowns today from the media who thought what. A lot of people thought it was the right call on the ice in Chicago. Of course, all the fans don't think so, and maybe the right call is somewhere in between. But I think from the video and from a still that I saw, you see the head contact with Darling and Sedin, and Darling even said he doesn't care about that. He knows that happened, maybe that was on him, but he doesn't like that his blocker was blocked and he couldn't move his blocker. That was his issue with the situation. I think a still frame I saw shows that.
I think he's got a valid point there.
Yeah.
And if you do watch it, exactly, the still frame, and you just focus in on that, he's got a valid argument.
He does. He does. And the same thing, just very close to the Taves play where Taves was called for goaltender interference. So it's like, you know, these rules and these reviews, they're supposed to help the game and be a good thing, but I don't know if they always are.
No. But you could say that with any sport, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pluses and minuses to everything in life, not even just, I'm not getting too philosophical here, but there's pluses and minuses to the replay system, and it's like that in every sport, but I would say the positives normally outweigh the negatives. It was a controversial call. It didn't go the Blackhawks' way. It's not the end of the world. They've still won 17 out of 20. They're still looking really good. They're pulling away from the Wild. They still got 6 points up on the Wild in the Western Conference. They're playing their best hockey by far of the season over the past couple of weeks here. It was a fun game to watch.
It was.
I mean, down 3-1, and you come back in the third period, and you score 3 goals, and it ends up going into overtime. 5-4 loss, not what you want, but are you not entertained?
Exactly. It was very exciting. Third period, just like on Sunday, and the overtime. But, you know, and we're focusing on the video review and the overtime goal, and Scott Darling was upset about it last night, but they're definitely thinking about how they got down to a bad team, and Crawford's thinking about how he could have played better. So I think you're going to see them come out and really perform well against a struggling Dallas Stars team on Thursday. I think you get a much better effort on Thursday. They get right back on track and turn the girl up again.
And Johnny Oduya going against his old team.
There you go.
Just, I mean, he had a tough run when he was in Dallas. He wasn't healthy.
He couldn't stay healthy.
What would your assessment be of him thus far since coming back to the Hawks?
Well, he was in last night. I think he was out Sunday.
He was out Sunday. But just in the few games that he has participated for the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
here,
good question. I was thinking about this recently, and what, you know, when you're in a press box, you're trying to kind of watch everything and everybody. And I would say for him is that I haven't noticed him. And for a defenseman who's just rejoining a team and is, you know, maybe like second, third pair guy, that's a good thing. You don't see him making a lot of mistakes or coughing up the puck, so I think he's been fine because he hasn't been too noticeable yet. I think he's going to string some more games here together, and you can really get a good look at him, and maybe he'll help get some pucks to the net. But so far, so good.
I would agree. It's not. I think that move is going to eventually pay itself off when it comes playoff time. And
of course,
that is so familiar in the system. And another guy that has been a new addition that you got to give some props to is John Hayden. I mean, what a cool story that is.
Yeah.
You know, coming from the Ivy League, he got signed a couple of weeks ago, out of college, out of Yale, and he got 3 points in 3 games.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Yale's captain this year, plays in his final game with Yale Saturday. A week later, he's playing for the Chicago Blackhawks on a line with Jonathan Taves.
And
he's already got 3 points, like you said.
Big body.
Yeah, yeah.
Big kid.
Drafted in 2013, same draft as Hartman. And I was talking to Hayden yesterday and Hartman, about what's going on with Hayden. And people are just focusing on kind of what I just said, that the kid who's in college 1 second and on the Blackhawks the next second, and he's already scoring goals and assisting Jonathan Toews. But it goes a lot deeper than that. This is a guy who worked really hard to get noticed in prospect camp three or four years in a row and training camp, and Hartman agreed with me on that. It takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication to get noticed by this organization and put in that position.
And the fact that they noticed him says something, because they're very particular about who they bring into the organization. I know that sounds like an obvious thing to say, but it's such a unique system with Joel Quenneville, and Scotty Bowman gets it. Stan Bowman gets what works in that system. And the fact that they seeked him out after he finally did get himself out there in prospect camp says a lot about what they have in mind for him in the future. And they talked about it a couple of days ago. You know, if he continues to play like this, I mean, you got to keep him in the lineup when it comes to playoff time, because the Blackhawks have officially, they're going to be going to the playoffs for the 9th straight year, which is unbelievable.
Clinched.
That's already clinched. That's done. He could end up playing a valuable role. Now, is there going to be some growing pains along the way? Of course. And there's going to be a time where maybe they'll keep him in, and it could be a first couple of games in the playoffs and he makes a mistake and then everybody wants to call for his head. But it's a cool story. We'll see where it goes. But you can't ask for a better start. I mean, 3 points in three games.
No, exactly. Yeah. And his fourth game last night.
He looks comfortable.
He does. I was just about to say that at this point, four games in for a rookie, especially one jumping right in towards the end of the season where teams are really competing and playing hard, you had already seen some mistakes and some big ones, and you haven't. I think he already is playing a playoff game. He's very hard on pucks. He has a ton of hits already. I forgot what it was, but he's getting like 5-6 hits a game and a handful of shots and jumping in on the scoring plays. So I think he's looked very good, and he's playing playoff hockey already. And we were just talking about how hard it is to get noticed, and I think when guys look at players like Hayden in prospect camp and training camp, you're not just seeing can they fit this system, can they learn this system and play with guys like Kane and Toews, but do they fit a certain role? And they know they needed a guy on that top line who could have some skill and have some size and be hard on pucks like Hayden is, and he fit right in. That's why he's there right now.
Blackhawks Jersey Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. He is Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson. Again, Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Make sure you check us out there. Like us. We're needy. We like to be liked. It's a good thing.
It feels good. That's what Sopel said on our last episode. It's good to be wanted.
That's a great segue, because I just wanted to thank Brent Sopel, actually.
It was fantastic.
That's funny. I was going to end the podcast with
it.
That, but you just segued right into it. We had him on the show last week. Brent Sopel, of course, the ex-Blackhawk, 2010 Stanley Cup champion. He's going to be a part of the WGN Radio Sports team here. He's going to be filling in on the beat, and he's going to be just a contributor across the lineup. So you'll be hearing Brent Sopel. He's great.
Awesome.
And he joined us last week. Just a couple of fun stories about the 2010 Stanley Cup team. He also talked about his battle with dyslexia. He's also battling alcoholism at the time right now. Or I shouldn't say at the time. He was an alcoholic. Right now he is battling that disease as well, and he's gone through rehab and he's trying to stay sober that way. So a really interesting podcast. So you're listening to this right now, go to last week's. It's called I think I titled it An Assist by Brent Sopel.
Yeah, great title.
And he comes in here and it's in studio. He took the time to actually come all the way downtown. He lives in the suburbs, and it was really cool. Just some really insightful stuff from a very humble and fun guy, too. He's humble, he's fun, but he's also very serious. Like, it's a very interesting conversation that we have with him.
He didn't hold back anything, because he's a guy who played the game, played on a championship team. He told you exactly what he thought of whoever or whatever we were asking about. So very honest guy, and it was interesting to hear him break down what's going on with this team, because he didn't hold back at all.
No.
So I implore everyone to listen to that. It was a good episode.
Including his thoughts on John Hayden.
Right. Which may, so far, Hayden's proven him wrong.
Yeah.
But he had some valid points there.
But make sure you tune into that. So Blackhawks Crazy, it's the episode right prior to this. You'll see it right there on WGNRadio.com on the Blackhawks page and also the sports page. Before we get out of here too today, wanted to talk about one of the blogs that you wrote on Sunday night. And it was really, it was heartfelt.
Thank you.
It was very cute. You brought your daughter, Lucy, to her first ever Blackhawks game. and you wrote a blog about it, a couple of great pictures of you two, and especially the back of the head shot of you guys looking down at the ice. I'm assuming your wife took that.
She did. She was very happy. I credited her in the thumbnail in the photo there.
So you wrote a blog about it, and that's the Chelsea Blogger, which is also here on WGNRadio.com. You do a couple of posts each and every week. You got to check that out. We tweet it out and stuff too, but you can go to the website, WGNRadio.com/sports/Blackhawks. And you just talked about your experience that you had with her. So a lot of people would say, what time is the best time to start taking your kids to sporting events? Now, a lot of people say 5 or 6. Some say, no, 1 or 2 is fine. Your daughter is under 2 years old.
Yes.
About 18 months?
19 months. She's 19 months.
A lot of people would say that's too soon. You would say.
I would say you're wrong. Why would you say that's wrong?
Because a lot of people think... Did it ruin your experience at all? That you constantly have to watch your daughter.
And, no. I mean, you got to know going in they're not going to remember anything, especially everything, but anything from the game. They're just not going to remember it. But we have these phones now, and they could take about 1 million pictures and videos, so you have those forever. And I had done some research a while ago, and I saw that if you're under 36 inches tall, you can get in for free. Your kid gets in for free at the United Center. So I knew that.
I did not know that.
Wait, repeat that again.
I did not know that.
Under 36 inches in height, free ticket.
Huh.
Man or child.
That is something I never knew.
So, yeah, and then my buddy hooked us up with tickets in the Harris Club, which is just an awesome open area with great food and drinks in a UC. We were really comfortable, and you know, our daughter could run around there, and when she tired herself out, she watched the crazy third period Sunday night on our laps, and it was funny to see her. You know, I've obviously had hockey on all the time at home. It was one of her – I don't want to say first words, but first group of words she was saying hockey a lot since she was a couple months old.
So she would tune in.
Yeah, she would check out the games with me, and she'd point to any, you know, bobbleheads in the basement and say hockey, hockey. And my aunt, her great aunt, got her a Hawks jersey she wore with the name Lucy on the back and the number 15 for the year she was born. So perfect thing for her to wear. And yeah, she had a blast. She was watching her take in the anthem was awesome. She could tell us something special, and she would clap when she saw everyone else clap. Everyone went crazy after Kane's first period goal, and she went, yay.
So she didn't get bothered by the crowd noise at all or anything like that?
No, it's funny because we got her those little baby headphones, and she put them on at the house, and she like loved wearing them. Then she didn't want to wear them when she was at the United Center. I don't think she wanted to miss anything. It was kind of funny. Okay. So, and when I thought it was too loud, I'd cover her ears with my hands. But most of the game, she was busy running around. Talk about in a story how she's kind of playing tag with one of the United Center servers, and every time she went by the bartender, she would wave. And he told us, he's like, you know, it's probably not a good sign that she keeps waving at the bartender.
But it was awesome. Have your hands full in a few years here.
I will. It was awesome. We'll never forget it. And you know, she obviously doesn't fully understand the game and where she was, but just seeing her take in that whole world, and the fans have been so cool with saying that they read it, enjoyed it. And I even heard from someone from the Blackhawks yesterday, said some really nice things to me, came up and said some stuff to me, and just an awesome experience.
So when you bring your daughter or your son, whatever it may be, when they're that young, I would say it's more of an experience for you as parents.
For sure.
It's rather totally, than, because they're, like you said, they're not going to remember. So it's more of an experience for you.
They'll like knowing that later and seeing the photos and videos. And at the time, you could tell they're really enjoying it. But it's, 100% selfish.
Yeah. It is.
It is. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, sometimes you need that. And it's a family moment. But it's, you know, that's my world. And my wife has gone to games with me since we were dating. And she, you know, keeps track of what's going on with the team. Her and her family are big fans, and my family's huge fans all over everyone. So, yeah, selfish, but it counts.
Did you guys have a battle over this, or were you guys both on board?
Oh, no, she wanted to go. She wanted to check out the Harris Club.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in right away, and she knew Lucy would like it. She knew she would like it in some fashion.
Because I will admit, and I'm not just saying this to plug your blog, I have always said you can't bring little kids to games. They got to be at least 5 or 6 years old. I was 5 years old my first event that I ever went to, and it was a preseason game for the Bears. I'll never forget against the Steelers in the original Soldier Field before they turned it into the spaceship that it now is. And I remember it, and I remember everything, the smells, first walking in, seeing the orange seats and all that. Yeah. I've just always wondered, is it more of a hassle to bring a 1 or 2 year old, because you can't even really enjoy the game. But reading what you wrote and talking to you about it, you clearly enjoyed the experience. So it makes me look like, because I feel like every time I'm at a game and I see somebody who has a kid 3 years or younger, even let's say even three or even four, let's say, they always just look miserable, and they're just constantly having to like take the kid to the bathroom, or they constantly are having to watch or
walk around with them.
Walk around.
You know
with
that stuff's going to happen going in, so you kind of prepare yourself for that. And for us, the ticket was free. We were in an area where we knew we could walk around. Like we would take turns walking around with her, and the whole time I was doing it, like I looked down, I saw Darlene make that ridiculous kick save, and I talked to him about it yesterday, and he barely stopped the puck with the blade of his skate on the goal line.
Yeah,
and like so that was my vantage point. So just like a lot of good memories with her and my wife, but like that game was crazy, and I was looking down and I saw Kane's goals. We saw the whole third period, so we didn't miss much. And to take her to that crazy game for a first game, she's not gonna remember, but we got the pictures, and this way, you know, when she's older, it's gonna be like taking her to another first game.
Yeah,
she's actually gonna remember and understand when she's 4 or 5, whatever, 6.
No tears,
no, from her or me,
both,
probably both will happen.
Well, and none of the fans and all the fans were great around you. Were they watching their language and all that stuff? Or
oh yeah, I mean I didn't really catch any naysayers saying any F-bombs, but you know, it's a hockey game. I honestly didn't even hear any cursing.
What was
someone brought a dog up there for some reason, so she was, I know she wanted to go pet the dog, but I'm always afraid
the
dog's gonna attack.
Dog in
I think it was
say.
A special needs dog or something.
A special needs dog for hearing or visually impaired.
I wasn't gonna tell that person to take a hike.
No. I would have advised against
But no, it was great. Everyone was great.
What was your first sporting event?
I actually was talking to emailing with my aunt about it, 'cause I told her about Lucy's first game. It was my family would take me. I was born in New Jersey, and I think when I was around 3 years old, it was Devils games, New Jersey Devils games.
The Devils.
And funny story, I might have said a chunk of this story, maybe first episode of our first season. Actually, I just remembered, but my dad and. My mom and my aunts would who were living with us at the time would take me to Devils games, and I think I had been watching movies and I kind of learned about curse words at the age of 3, maybe early, and then I would hear everyone, like you said, cursing at a hockey game, and I turned it to whoever I was with and I go, hockey game, okay to say bad words?
That's great.
And the truth is, yes.
Little kids are sponges.
They are. Soak everything in.
They really do.
And it comes out.
And that's very true. But yeah. I'm glad it was a cool experience.
Thanks,
for
man.
You.
It was the best.
And it really did. Reading that changed my perspective, because I was always just gung-ho. And, you know, I'm planning on having children someday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just one of those things, like, I would never take my kid. And it's like, I would have a bad time, and they would have a bad time, It was a really good read. So WGNRadio.com, check out the Chelsea blogger. It's also on your Facebook page and on our Blackhawks crazy Facebook page, and it's on your Twitter at Scott King Media.
Yes, sir.
Put a bow on it. Till next week.
I think that was a great one.
I do, too.
I think it was a nice follow-up to the Sopel episode. That was one of my favorites
Done. Felt good. I liked the part when we talked about hockey, too. That was fun.
We do that. It's nice. It's nice to do. We don't always do it. A lot of times we go on tangents, but always fun.
It's always fun here in Studio A on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower here on the Magnificent Mile. We will talk to you next week, talking more Blackhawks again. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I'm at Jacobson Radio, Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Like us, love us. We'll talk to you next week.